If you have a Bible, why don't you turn with me? We're in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And thank you so much to our bell choir, our handbell ringers. Did a wonderful job. Been working for a number of weeks. That's right. If I counted correctly, had 12 of them up there. And Greg, as their fearless leader, it almost looked like Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper, the way we had them up there. could have doubled up and had a reenactment there. We're in Luke chapter 19. I'm very excited today. We've got a few special things just because it's the Easter season. Of course, our handbell choir was a very special element in our worship service. We have two baptisms that we'll be participating in together in the 11 o'clock service. So that's something to be excited about as well. And we have another few people who are prospective baptism candidates, which means simply that they're persons that I'm talking with about the subject of their baptism, and we're working through that. Hopefully, we'll have some baptisms next Sunday on Easter Sunday, and that will be very exciting. If you're here this morning and you think maybe you need to be baptized as an act of obedience to the Lord to associate with His people, then would you reach out to me? I'd love to speak with you about the subject of your baptism. You can give me a call here at the church, find me after the service, or fill out one of those Next Step cards and just write on there, like to talk about baptism. First thing tomorrow morning, I will get all of those Next Steps cards. And if you've indicated there that you'd like to talk with me about baptism, I'll be reaching out to you right away. So we'd love to do that. We're in Luke chapter 19. Today is Palm Sunday, which is the day in which Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives and up towards Jerusalem in what's known as the triumphal entry. And we're going to read about that here in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. And we'll read down through verse 44. Let's read God's word together, Luke 19, 28 to 44. There the Bible says this: when Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples and he said, go into the village in front of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord needs it. And so those who were sent left, and they found it just as Jesus had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? The Lord needs it, they said. And then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the colt, they helped Jesus get on it. Now, as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now, he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. Now, as he approached and he saw the city, that is the city of Jerusalem, Jesus wept for it, saying, if you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you. They will surround you and hem you in on every side. Jesus was forecasting a very soon to come destruction there upon the city of Jerusalem. It says in verse 44, they will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. As we've already remarked, today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what is known as Holy Week. Today is the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry. And as Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, so he enters our thoughts here on this Palm Sunday and during this Easter season. And as there were some there who very much welcomed Jesus into his city, the city of Jerusalem, and also there were some, as we read, who rejected him, our question today is this: will we welcome the king? The king has come. We celebrate. We recognize his coming. Will we in our lives as children of God welcome him? And that's the subject of our sermon today, welcoming the king. Let me say a little bit about what Holy Week is. You know, in the Baptist tradition, oftentimes we don't make a whole lot of a big deal about Holy Week. In other Christian traditions, those congregants know it well. On Sunday of Holy Week, we remember the triumphal entry. On Monday of Holy Week, and again, Holy Week is just the last week of Jesus' life leading up toward his crucifixion, his burial, and then his resurrection. On Monday of that final week of his life, the Bible tells us Jesus cursed a fig tree, he wept again over the city of Jerusalem, and he cleansed the temple. On Tuesday, he did much teaching. He spent time in the temple precincts, confounding and then even pronouncing judgment on his enemies. All the while, in the background, Judas was making secret deals with the devil. On Wednesday of Holy Week, though not much is recorded in the Gospels, we do know Jesus and his disciples were making plans and preparing to celebrate Passover, while the Pharisees and Jesus' enemies were doing their own scheming for what would ultimately be Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. On Thursday of Holy Week, the Last Supper takes place, and Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. Jesus prays and he grieves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on that Thursday, Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus is arrested and taken into custody. On the Friday upon which Jesus would die, Jesus first goes on trial before the high priest of the Jews, and then before the Sanhedrin, a council of 70 religious leaders, and then a third trial, again before Jewish leaders, before ultimately he was handed over to the Roman tribunal system. He stood before Pilate, who then sent him to Herod, who then sent him back to Pilate, and then Jesus was scourged. He was beaten. And a city which just 1 week prior had thrown palm branches on the ground, had shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This same city now, less than a week later, shouts, "Crucify him," about Jesus on this Friday, what we call Good Friday. It was the day Jesus would be died. He was turned over to be crucified. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. It was on this same day that Judas, in his guilt and shame, would take his own life. Jesus, picking up his cross, would carry it through town to the northernmost part of the city, and then he's crucified around 9 a.m. For the next 6 hours, hanging from the cross, he would utter what we know as the seven sayings from the cross, and then around 3 p.m., Jesus would die. At that very moment, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Rocks were rent. Graves were burst open. Jesus was pierced in his side, and nearby Passover lambs were being slaughtered. And then Jesus was buried. On Saturday, the Jews, suspicious of Jesus and his followers, urged that a guard be placed at Jesus' tomb, and on Sunday, Jesus resurrected. This is Holy Week. I want to share with you this morning, very briefly, three things that we can do over the course of this next week to welcome Jesus into our lives. That's what Palm Sunday is all about, welcoming the King. And so, would you listen as I share these three things with you? Number one, how can you welcome Jesus into your life? Answer God's call. Very simply, answer God's call. We see in just the shortest of introductory statements in verse 28, it says of Jesus that he went on ahead, he kept moving forward, he went on ahead, and he went up to Jerusalem. We see that Jesus answered God the Father's call upon his life to keep moving toward his destiny, moving toward the cross. And as Jesus answered God the Father's call, he not only made provision for our salvation, but he gives a wonderful example of how we ought to answer God's call in our life. And so if we're going to answer God's call, what exactly is the nature of that call? Well, we can point out a few things just from this short introductory phrase. He went on ahead and he went up to Jerusalem. God's call on your life, notice with me three things. It's a call to move forward. God's call on your life is a call to keep moving forward. Never standing still, never growing complacent or apathetic, but to keep moving forward. It says of Jesus, when he was there on the Mount of Olives, he went on ahead. He knew what waited for him in Jerusalem, and yet he went on ahead. One day at a time, one conversation at a time, one step at a time, Jesus kept moving forward. And God's call on your life is no different. God's called all of us to keep moving forward. Here's the way Paul would express that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Paul says, brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own. He's saying there, listen, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet. But there's one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. That the verbiage there of pressing on, it was a word often used in hunting context, chasing, stalking wild game. It was also a word often used in athletic contests. That is to say that they were moving towards winning the race. And the point there is this. As God's people, if we're going to answer his call in our life, we ought to be working for something. We ought to be moving forward to achieve something in our life. We ought to be after something with this life that God has given us. God didn't save us just so that we could stand still. God saved us so that, like Christ, we could keep on moving. Keep on moving. So ask yourself this question today. What are the ways in my life that God's telling me to move forward? What's next for me? What's the next step of faith? Your spiritual life with Christ should not be like a gym membership you never take advantage of. Okay, your spiritual life with Christ should not be like a treadmill that has not been turned on in 5 years. You should just sell it on Facebook Marketplace. That's what I did with mine before we moved here. The call to follow the Lord is a call to move forward. Notice it's also a call to move upward. Verse 28 says of Jesus that he moved on and that he moved upward toward Jerusalem. Now, I don't want to make too much out of this, but to get from the base of the Mount of Olives was about a 30-minute walk or so to get to Jerusalem, and almost all of it was uphill. It was an uphill climb. There was elevation to be gained. And honestly, the Christian life, I think, if you're doing it right, it will often feel like an uphill climb. There will be tension. There will be so much inside of you that says, you know, can we just sit down for a little while? My legs are tired. But Jesus says, let's keep moving on. Walking with the Lord is not always easy, but it is always worth it. It's a call to move forward. It's a call to move upward. We can summarize it this way. It's a call to surrender. In Luke chapter 9, in Luke's version of similar accounts, he says in verse 51 that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem, knowing what was waiting there for him, determined to answer God's call on his life. Answer that call. How might we summarize the next portion of our passage of Scripture with these words? Welcome the King. Welcome the King. Now, that's a title for our message. It's really also the main thrust of these verses that we've read. Welcoming the King. This crowd here on Palm Sunday welcomed Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. And I want to point out a few things about his arrival. Notice with me first the King's place. The place, that is literally the actual geographical location that's described here in this passage. It says that Jesus was at a place called the Mount of Olives. This is where Jesus would sort of camp out as his base of operations for this last week of his life. And so as you read about him in Jerusalem, some days of Holy Week, and at the Mount of Olives, some other days, he would sort of trek into Jerusalem, handle his affairs during the day, and they'd make their way back to the Mount of Olives where they would spend the night. The triumphal entry would begin at this place. Jesus would give an end times discourse known as the Olivet Discourse. You read about it most vividly in Matthew 24 and 25. He would give it here from the Mount of Olives. At the base of the Mount of Olives was the Garden of Gethsemane, where on the very night he was betrayed, Jesus would pray with such intensity that he would sweat drops of blood. This would also be the place where Judas would lead a gang of soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. This would be the place Jesus would go to after his resurrection. It would also, relatively speaking, be the place where Jesus would ascend to heaven to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Now, this last point is somewhat debated, but some believe it would also be the site where Jesus would return. This was a special place. Notice also the king's providence. As we welcome Jesus here on his Palm Sunday, the details we read about a colt that has never been ridden on being provided for Jesus, these details show both a filling of prophecy and they also demonstrate Jesus' sovereignty. How did he know a colt was going to be there? The same way he knows everything. He's God in human form. The word providence means to see something ahead of time and to have the ability to meet whatever needs are presented by that foresight. We see in the significance of these details that Jesus was a sovereign Savior full of providential power. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says these words, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt." The foal of a donkey. Here Jesus fulfills Scripture's prophetic voice as he makes preparations to ride into Jerusalem, the king, humbly mounted on a donkey. The colt signified a couple of things, not only purity in the form that had never been ridden, but it was also a symbol of peace. When a king entered into a capital city, the way in which he arrived signified his plans, in a sense. And so if a king were to come mounted on his war horse, the residents of that city would be prepared. War is coming. But when a king arrives on a colt, it's a symbol that peace is arrived. And Jesus symbolized that for us. Jesus was and remains rightful king, not only over the people of God, but over all the world. And we welcome him today. Notice also the king's praise. Jesus was worshiped here in this passage as God's people threw their cloaks down and palm branches down and praised him, shouting this greeting, "Hosanna, blessed is he, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." King Jesus, fulfilling prophecy as God's chosen one, totally pure, bringing news of peace, making that peace himself, here worshiped by his people. Let me tell you, this scene gets things right. There's no truer depiction of who Jesus is than him riding into his capital city, king, and being worshiped rightly as the God he is to us. You know, some people want from Jesus a savior, but they don't want a king. The Bible says Jesus is both. He is our generous savior, but he's also our powerful king. Notice with me also, as we welcome the king's peace. We've already hinted at this some, but Jesus is riding upon a symbol of peace. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem as he talks about they don't realize what peace is being made for them. Jesus, Colossians 1:20 tells us, was headed on his way to make peace through the blood of the cross. And so today, we welcome the king. We welcome him into our hearts. That's what we do as we worship. Let me share with you one final thing to consider as we look at our passage, and that is this: would you soften your heart today? Soften your heart. As I looked at this near chapter of Scripture this week and thought, you know, how can I communicate to you what exactly is going on? I mean, this is a story, but the story has ramifications. Well, the story ends, right? Jesus is being praised for who he is, but then we're told right there at the end, there were some who were antagonistic toward Jesus. There were some whose hearts, for whatever reason, had been hardened toward who Jesus was and the ministry that he came to perform. And so I want to encourage you today, would you soften your heart toward Jesus and his will for your life? There's no better way to welcome the King this Easter season than to pray, God, would you soften my heart? A soft heart can hear when Jesus speaks. A soft heart can feel when Jesus moves. Would you soften your heart today? Now, to do that, you're going to need to humble yourself. We read in our passage in verse 39, if you look there with me one last time. In verse 39, it's Jesus is praised as the King he is. And then verse 39 says, but there were some of the Pharisees from the crowd, and they told Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They understood Jesus was being worshipped here as the King. And they did not like this because they didn't believe that Jesus was the King. There was a pride in their life that would not allow God to teach them something new. There was a destructive, self-blinding pride in their heart, the only remedy for which is that their hearts would be softened so that they could see what God was doing in their midst. We're given a hint here of the persecution that would take place in Jesus's final days, but I just love this one little element in our passage. Jesus told those Pharisees, listen, if these people don't praise me, right? What's happening here this day, this special week, if these people don't praise me, even the rocks are going to start crying out and praising me because it's right for God's creation to praise Jesus Christ. It's just the right thing. And I like to picture those rocks, inanimate objects as they are. If you could imagine them with little personalities, they're probably standing nearby going, Jesus, let us do it. Let us do it. We'll cry out your praise. We'll surprise everyone. They wanted to cry out because Jesus is so worthy of praise. There's something here that I think is important. As we think about the need to soften our heart before God, we need to remember, even if we don't, there's no stopping what Jesus came to do. There's no stopping it. Our belief or our lack of belief does not thwart the plans or the promises of God. Whether we acknowledge it or not, Jesus is still King. And he's going to do what he came to do. Jesus is not sitting somewhere waiting on the ballot to be cast to see whether he will be crowned king. He's King. And if we soften our hearts, then we'll recognize it. In softening our hearts, we also need to open our eyes. Jesus talks in the closing verses about how the city of Jerusalem just could not see what God was doing. Would you pray today that in addition to softening your hearts, God would help you to have your eyes open and clear with the absolute best spiritual vision possible. The Bible says that the devil blinds people's eyes and God opens people's eyes. As we welcome the King, I want to give you one final admonition this morning in the simplest terms that I can think of. When it comes to your walk with Christ, would you say yes to Jesus? Whatever it is that Jesus is asking of you, would you just say yes to him? A simple yes. Not a maybe later, but yes. Not, well, how's it going to work? But a simple yes. If your heart is still soft enough to feel the presence of God moving, as you discern him today, would you just say yes. I believe every yes we say to Jesus softens our hearts and opens our eyes a little bit more. And every no hardens our hearts. You want to have a softer heart? Just say yes. God's leading you to do something. Say yes. Welcome the King today by saying yes to him. Would you bow your heads with me? While your heads are bowed, as our praise team comes to lead us in a final song this morning, while your heads are bowed, would you just do a little business with Jesus today? Now make no mistake, he's in charge, right? We don't make demands of him. We don't bargain with him. But he loves you. And he comes to you today, and there's a call on your life. Would you answer that call and simply say, yes, Jesus, yes. However you discern God leading you today, would you say yes to him? Would you welcome the King into your life? Father, we ask you now in these closing moments, Lord, would you move in our midst? God, may our faith today be a yes to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.